Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 147 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with two sisters, Shannon Gardner and Cherie Crone. Shannon and Cherie live in Gulf Breeze, Florida, which is on the Gulf Coast, and they both work for their family's surf shop called Inner Light. Welcome, Shannon and Cherie.
Hi.
So glad to have you here today. I love to talk to relatives, friends, sisters, coworkers, anyone who's doing intermittent fasting together. You know, as I was saying that list, I was like, that describes these two perfectly. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that? And so, Cherie, we're going to start with you because I hear you found it first.
I did. So in May of 2019, I kind of found it by accident. I decided I was going to pray for a relative every Monday and completely fast all day long. So at the end of the month, I had lost weight and hadn't really done much else. So I told my sister, I was like, there's something going on with this. This is the only thing that's worked. So we started doing all kinds of research. I found your podcast. And then one day we were hanging out together and we put an earphone in and just listened to it while we watched the kids swim. Yeah. And so I was like, we are starting this tomorrow.
That's fantastic. So May of 2019. So by the time that this episode comes out, we're recording in February, but it will be May of 2021. So it'll be right around your 2-year fastiversary, we like to call it. So were you praying for one specific relative that had something going on every Monday, or was it like every Monday it was a different relative?
It was just one. And it was, yes, all day on Monday. But at the time, I was still drinking hazelnut flavored coffee, which I still thought that was a clean fast, although I wasn't really following your stuff in May. But then in June, Shannon told me 3 weeks into it, you're not clean fasting.
Yeah, I'm a rule follower. So I hadn't gotten your book yet, but I was like, well, I found the Facebook group. And so I started like looking into that and I was like, this is not on the right list. And so
this is on the no list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's like, but it's black. I was like, but it's flavored. So
that's right. That's right. People get so confused by that. Like just yesterday on the Intermittent Fasting podcast, they were like, well, you said avoid flavors, but coffee is a flavor. I'm like, good try, but no. Let me explain. So, by the way, how did things go for your relative that you were praying for?
Good. Things turned out very nice. Yes, it was worth all the prayers.
I'm so glad. So you were fasting every Monday. And what inspired you to do it? Just the whole idea of just, you know, fasting religiously. Had you done that before, or was it just something that like came to you in an inspired way?
It came to me, yes, in an inspired way, I guess. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to do this and commit to it for the whole month and went for it. And usually, you know, halfway through the day or whatever before, I'd be like, I'm just going to go ahead and eat. But no, I stuck to it and was very strict with it.
And so that first month, how much weight did you lose just from doing this one day a week?
I want to say it was only like 3 pounds. Before, I was turning, I guess, 39 that year, and I was determined to get into better shape for my 40th. And before, I could lose, you know, 10 pounds in a month if I really wanted to. But as I was getting older, it wasn't working quite the same.
I think we all could tell that story, right? That we could just cross our, you know, snap our fingers when we were, you know, a teenager and
took it so for granted.
Not so easy anymore. Yeah. All right. So 3 pounds just from fasting on Mondays. That's pretty exciting. So Shannon, when you got started, was it about a month in? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So at the end of May is when she kind of reached out to me, and I had been on and off that year with different diets. I had gotten to the highest weight I had ever been. I got remarried, and I always joke that I'm the fat and happy type girl. So we, you know, we lived it up. I had a baby. I gained a lot of weight, and I was struggling with losing weight. And we pretty much did every diet together all of our adulthood, except keto. So I had done keto for a while.
I refused.
She refused.
But Cherie was like, no on the keto.
Yeah.
She couldn't drag me on that one.
So I had started gaining weight again because I started eating bread again. And and so she was like, I really want you to do this with me. And I really think it'll work. It's different. And I was like, sure. You know, like when I did keto, there's a, like fasting kind of goes along with keto a lot of times, not clean fasting, but so I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then she's like, well, you can't have bulletproof coffee. You can't. And I'm like, what? So I did it though. And I read the books and I did all that. And I was like, all right, let's do this. First week of June of the same year, 2019, is when I kind of joined alongside her. So
awesome. Yeah, it really is true that we often find now fasting and keto hand in hand, but it, you know, didn't used to be that way. But they, you know, now that we've realized, hey, fasting is also ketogenic, you know, it really helps with that. So ketogenic and bread. What's better than that? Love it. So you stopped keto right at the same time that you...
So at first I was like, I'll do it with it. And so I did keto and intermittent fasting probably for about a month. And I lost 10 pounds that first month. I said it was probably 99% inflammation. But I was like, okay, I can do this. And then Cherie's like, you can do it without doing keto too. So because that was still a struggle. It was still that May like diet mentality. And it was very like, I just want to lose weight. But I was finally kind of starting to feel better. And so I kind of just transitioned to eat whatever you want and continue with the fasting from there on out. But so keto for maybe just that month of June.
And 10 pounds for that. So when you added carbs back in, did your weight go back up temporarily?
I didn't gain any weight, but I probably didn't lose weight for the next 3 months. And I was listening to one of your podcasts with Charlie, cute little Charlie. She was saying, like, people were like commenting, they're like, oh, look, you've lost so much weight. But I wasn't weighing at that time. I had kind of was like, I don't want to think about the scale. I just want to, you know, fast and feel better. but you kind of always, you know, think about the scale. And so after like month three, I didn't weigh at all that month, and people had been commenting and they're like, "No, you look great. You tell me how much weight you lost when you weigh." And I'm like, "Okay." And I had gained a pound that month. But I did look like my clothes were fitting better and all that. So that's where I'm like, the scale's a liar. Don't listen to the scale, because it's not always accurate as to, you know, what's happening.
But that's true. One reason that I asked is because I used to, of course, dabbled in the keto, low carb. Over the years, I would cycle back through things before I got to intermittent fasting and got to give all that up. But I had about a 4-pound swing. The amount of liquid my body would retain, along with the glycogen that I would store, I think is about 4 pounds. Because whenever I would start low carb, I would immediately drop 4 pounds, and then never another pound.
Right.
No matter how long I tried it. But then I would start back up with carbs, and then bam, there were those 4 pounds again. So I think that was the glycogen weight for me. So maybe you had, you know, maybe you were really down 3 instead of up 1, right?
I'll take that.
We'll use that 4-pound math for that. But what's really funny is, even though that happened every single time, I kept trying low carb over the years anyway. So you reintroduced all the foods. And then you, Cherie, you were eating all the foods from the beginning.
I was, always. Although I was very strict with, I kind of dabbled in that 21-day fix. So I would portion out all my food and counting out the 12 almonds.
But before.
Before, not yet. Yeah. No, once intermittent fasting started, it was all the foods.
Yeah.
So 21-day fix is the one that has the container.
Yes.
She made me do that with her too.
Yeah, I did make her do that with me.
When did that one come out? I'm trying to remember if I did that or if I just heard of it. Was that a more recent one?
I did that like in 2016-ish.
Okay, so yeah, I would skip that one. Is it Beachbody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I didn't do that one.
And I would lose weight, gain it back, and then I would be like, I've got to get back on it. So yeah. It was always...
Because you were eating like frequently, but small amounts, and you had to bring your food with you.
Yes. All color-coded jars.
Yes, I remember that. I think we had a teacher that worked with me, and she was doing it. She was a Beachbody coach, and so she had all of her containers, I can remember, in her cooler that she would bring with her to work.
Mm-hmm. Now it holds my little salt in my car.
Her pink Himalayans.
Just don't get pulled over.
Yeah. Right.
It's salt, really. I can explain.
Not that salt.
Yeah. No. The bad, not the crazy drug kind. I don't know what that is. So what were some of the crazy diets that y'all did together along the way?
Well, did you ever do the cabbage soup?
Yeah, that was with mom and my high school.
I did that one too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You did that with your mom?
Yes.
It was terrible. And a hurricane hit one time and we're eating it cold because, you know, we lost all power. And I'm like, I'm done. Where are the ladies?
That's it. Yeah.
So we did
that's
that.
That's a very bad one.
Oh, yep. So bad.
We did all of them.
Atkins.
Probably the worst one we did was...
Oh, yeah, HCG. We did HCG.
We did this thing called Ripped Fuel, and it was more of like... It was Ephedrine, so that it's banned now. You can't get
this. This was right out of high school.
Yeah. And it was horrible.
If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. And I bought all that stuff, too, over the years. And I did the HCG. Did you do the HCG drops or the shots?
Yeah, drops.
Yeah.
You did the shots.
I was doing the shots.
Yeah. You were all in.
I was all in. And, you know, you had to get them from a doctor. But, you know, a friend of mine that I went to college with was doing it when one summer I saw her. And I was, you know, about a size 16. It was maybe, I don't know, 2007 or 8. And she was like, I'm doing it. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it too. Her dentist had told her about it. So I found a doctor. It was like an hour away, a doctor that would prescribe it, and drove up there to get it and started doing it. And then locally, someone started doing it here. So I didn't have to drive. I could get it right here. And
yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just crazy.
All of those.
Absolutely. So, you know, it sounds like y'all, like me, y'all had kind of like a yo-yo.
Yes.
Kind of
we would lose it, gain it back, just over and over again.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, and it usually coincided with children. We had kids at the same time, too, because we do everything together. So we have 17-year-olds, and that's probably the pregnancy that we both gained the most with, and we were the youngest, and that kind of started the whole cycle. Was we started young, and then she has a 12, and I have an 11-year-old, and then she has a 10-year-old. She wouldn't have one with me the last time. I have a 4-year-old, so
I was done.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. She's like, no. Nope. But usually, though, you know, it would be like you gain a bunch of weight with your pregnancy, then you'd slowly lose it, and then just in time for the next pregnancy. So it was, yeah.
That's exactly what – well, with my first, I had just lost a lot of weight. And it's so funny. Y'all are probably the same way. I can remember exactly what I weighed when I went to that first pregnant doctor's appointment. I was like 123. I just lost all this weight. And I can remember I was talking to my assistant principal. He was a great man, so nobody judge him based on this. Oh. But he said, you lost all that weight just to get fat again. Oh. I'm like, quit it. I'm not good. That's not going to happen. You know, famous last words. But.
Yes, that's funny.
But yeah, Lordy. But so how high did y'all yo-yo? Like, what was that range?
Oh, so the highest I ever got, because I remember the number, was 232 pounds. And that was in 2018. Keto had gotten me down. Well, it caught me down, but I'd gotten back up to about 220 when I started intermittent fasting. But I would say, like, I would average around, like, 180 to 200. I couldn't get below that 180 mark my whole adulthood. And when I was in college, you know, the smallest I was like 120 something pounds. I don't think I'll ever be there again, but I think I could be comfortable like at 150.
Mm-hmm. So you started IF at about 220.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And how about you, Sheree?
I would get up to about 170 and then be like, okay, now it's, I had to go on the next diet. And I would usually always get down to around 150.
Okay. And that you would get stuck there at 150. Yes. That's where you would kind of level off.
I'd stay there for about 3 days and then stop once I made the goal. And then we'd start the cycle again.
Yep. That was like me with the HCG and those very restrictive diets. I would get down to right around the somewhere in the 130s with that. And then just bam.
Yep.
Right back up.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was a little climb right back up. Yep. And then.
A lot of years I was stuck in the 170s. I remember that. Like that, the 170s were where I could just kind of stick around. But then that was when I quit weighing those years before 2014. It was probably 2011 to 2014. I just really weighed very sporadically. And you know what happened there? That's when my weight got finally over the 200. So, Sheree, you never saw anything over the 200s?
When I was pregnant with my first and I really went crazy, I did. But no, not since then.
That just was such a hurdle for me, that number, the two.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know, the two in the hundreds place. I was like, I'm never going to see that. I think if I'd have gotten on the scale and it had said 199, I probably would have been okay. Yeah. But that day, honestly, that day that I got on and it said 210, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
No, we're done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, that was never going to happen. And really, you know, once I crossed below that, it never went back over again. Thank goodness for intermittent fasting. But if it hadn't been for intermittent fasting, I know the story would have turned out differently. So how much have y'all lost so far in the 2 years? How has that gone?
So I've lost right at 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. And I'm at about 60 right now. So
awesome. So I'm doing a little math.
That's right.
So Cherie, you're around the 140s.
Yep.
Is that right? Awesome. And that's wonderful because you mentioned you had never been able to get below 150 and stay there. So here you are. And Michelle, you're down to...
Well, I'm Shannon, but you can call me
Michelle. I'm sorry. I wrote Michelle. I know it's Shannon because I had it somewhere else, but I was like, all right, Michelle. Sorry, Shannon.
That's my other personality. Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, so Shannon, you've lost about 60, so you're around in the 160 range. Mm-hmm. Is that where you are right now? Okay. But that's below where you had been before as well, where you were kind of stuck. So you're both about 20 pounds below where
our bodies like to
your sticking point.
Yes, absolutely.
That's good. That's a positive. So do you feel like you're plateaued or do you feel like you're happy or what's your goal now?
I would like to be closer to like 150. I'd like to lose another like 15 pounds is where I think I would be happy. And if I lose more, I lose more. If I lose less, it's fine. We both play tennis. We're tennis partners too.
I'm not surprised.
So, right? So we're very competitive. So mainly we just want our game to be good. So whatever weight that's at and whatever weight is, you know, comfortable. But I'm still slowly losing. I'm a slow loser. I mean, it's 60 pounds, but that's 60 pounds over a long period of time, and I've never been able to do something and not hate it while losing weight. So that's what I feel like, you know, fasting is so different compared to everything else because it's so much more sustainable. And we joke now, we're like, how did we eat all day?
Oh my gosh,
like, how, like,
it is crazy.
Like, I don't know. I see people like, I don't know. I'm like, how do you eat all day? So once you go the other way, you're like, and I'm like, lazy, so I'm like, this is so nice. Like, I only have
we
to
forget
like,
to feed the kids.
Oh, well,
like,
oh,
no, forgot.
Except for the 4-year-old.
Right. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
They're totally old enough. Yes. I'm like, we'll go make something.
That's great. So, when you consider yourself a slow loser, are you still losing? Do you think, or are you stuck?
It was slow for a while, and around April of 2020, right when the pandemic, you know, reached its peak, I decided to go to ADF, and I did like a 4-3 ADF for the most part, and that helped to accelerate the weight loss, and that it made, it's even for even lazier people. Now I only have to make food every other day. This is just when I thought it couldn't get better. So I did that, and for the most part, I still do that. I just went on vacation, so I didn't do it while I was on vacation. And then, like, with the holidays, or at least do a daily fast. But I do notice when I do ADF, I do lose weight quicker. But I'm okay with it, you know, it's slow and steady. Maybe sometimes it's a pound a month. Sometimes it's 3 pounds a month. You know, sometimes it's no pounds a month. So just as long as I'm feeling good and my clothes are fitting and I, you know, that's what I'm kind of focusing on. So
that makes sense. But you would be happy where you are right now if that's what your body decided. You could live with that.
Yep, I'd be fine.
That's great. So explain how you like to structure your 4-3 when you really are feeling good and you're really in the groove of it. Because a lot of people are scared of ADF or 4-3 and they're like, I feel like I need to. I feel like my body might want it, but I am scared. So how does it look for you?
So for me, I started with the Mealless Mondays. And I love that your group have hosts for the different days. So I started with the Mealless Monday just to like... you know, tell myself I could do that. And I did that for a while, maybe like 4 months of Mealless Mondays. And then I was like, okay, you know, this is something I can do. It's not that scary once you actually do it. Because I really feel like it's way more mental than physical, like with anything, you know. So I usually fast on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then I have free eating on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then usually Sunday, it's you know, sometimes it'll be lunch after church. Sometimes I'll eat two meals that day. Sunday is just kind of like whatever I want to do. And that's the way I like to do it. Sometimes if there's an event and I have to like switch up the days, I'll do that. Like, oh, we have something on Thursday, so then I'll change it accordingly. But for the most part, that's how I do it. I don't really set like, oh, 36 or 42 or 40. I just try to make sure it's, you know, overnight and then the next day I eat. So, because now I don't, well, we play tennis, and so we don't like to play tennis after we've eaten now.
Yes.
So, because it's, I never thought I'd say that, but sometimes I don't get to eat till a little bit later, but I just make sure I eat enough or keep eating into the night if I need to. So
that's very much the way I did it. I mean, I chose different days than you. I was the Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday were my fasting days because for whatever reason, Friday, I was just like, I cannot fast on Friday. Being the elementary teacher, I don't know. Fridays were just such a special day at the school and we could wear jeans. You can probably wear jeans to work.
Every day we want.
Right. Every day is jeans day. And for me, now that I'm, a real grown up who doesn't have to go to school every day. And I can wear jeans whenever I want to. No, but I would do the same thing. I had those 3 days. And I, just like you, I never timed my fast when I was doing the ADF, the 4-3. I didn't know whether I was, you know, at 36 hours or 41 hours. It didn't even matter. I didn't have a fasting goal. I just woke up on the day after the fast and it was an up day. And I knew I could eat when I felt like it. Sometimes I had 3 meals, sometimes I had 2 meals, but I never tried to go all the way till dinner that second day. Thank goodness. But some people sometimes feel like they maybe they should, but...
Well, you probably feel like you can, because I feel like once you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I feel good.
You've already done the hard part.
Yeah, I've done the hard part. But we do use an app, so I do know what my hours are. But that's just, for me, like more of like information things. But I'll just set like a time in the future. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, some random time in the future. This sounds good. But it's rarely actually, I'm not like looking at it. Okay, I got to wait till 42 hours on the dot. So.
Right. And of course, anyone who's read Fast, Feast, Repeat knows that I do not recommend that you have like one meal on the day after your longer fast because, you know, the research on alternate daily fasting, they had a totally unrestricted day. They weren't trying to get to 36 or 42 or 48. They were one day you don't eat, the next day you do eat. So a lot of times we tend to overcomplicate what is really a very simple protocol.
Lazy protocol. I'm just kidding.
Well, look, that's what I love too. I'm the person who also exercises on a vibration plate. So I could just stand there. Do you do it too? Do you have
I got one. She makes fun of me, but
she's always talking to me. And I'm like, are you on that?
I know. I'm like, hey, what are you?
That's great. Well, but you know what? It's the only thing I've done long term, really. You know, I've got a rebounder, and sometimes I'll jump on it as I'm getting over to the. I get on it, I jump a few times, then I get on the vibration plate and just stand there.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. All right. So you do sometimes 4-3, but sometimes you do the daily eating window approach. I bet over the holidays, you probably did a little less ADF and a little more.
Right. More. If I do a daily fast, it's usually closer to OMAD. It's like a, you know, not just one plate, but like a 24 or, you know, a 21-3 or something like that. Every once in a while, you know, you have a 14-hour fast if something crazy happens, like vacation. I would just, but for the most part, either ADF or closer to like an OMAD style is what I do.
So how about you, Cherie? What do you do for your, have you ever done any ADF? Did you skip it completely?
I skipped it completely.
You could say you started with 6-1, right?
Yeah, that's true. I did do mealless Mondays for a long time.
Okay, so you were doing mealless, that's 6-1.
Yeah, there you go. But now it kind of messes with me a little bit.
She doesn't sleep well. She has the same. I think you have that issue with.
Yeah.
I sleep amazing. So I have like the opposite. I'm like.
I'll do it maybe once every 6 weeks now and maybe not even that much. But I kind of stick to a 22-2, I would say, is my goal. I like to. Some days I'll go longer, some days shorter, but I would say I average right at about 22 hours.
I wonder if really for me, the sleeping issue could have been a lot to do with it. I was really doing it. I'd already hit my goal. When I was doing it, it was right after the obesity code had come out. And I had gained a little bit of rebound weight gain because that was before I knew about the clean fast. Then I read the obesity code and I'm like, oops, stevia, and took all that out and started fasting clean. But I was still, you know, I was maybe 8 pounds from my original goal, but it wasn't a lot, you know, so I really only needed to lose a little bit. But I did. I think the closer I got to that, going back to the goal again, losing the 8 pounds I'd gained, I think it got harder to sleep for me.
That's what I joke. I always say that to her because I'm like, you don't have fat stores like I do. So, yeah. She thinks she does. I'm like, no, there's a lot to burn here.
I don't know if that's a factor or not, but for me, I did, you know, that was an important period of time for me because I really wasn't still trying to lose a lot. But it's funny, that's what he had in the obesity code in the back. And I'm like, all right, that's what I'm going to do. But then I was like, no, I want to eat every day. And so I've eaten every day since mid-2016. That's just what I like to do. So Sheree, sounds like you like to eat every day too.
I do. Yes.
There's just something about it. So you mentioned earlier that you had done the cabbage soup diet with your mom.
Yes.
So
we drug her on the thing too. She's intermittent fasting.
Yeah, we got our dad, we've got
cousins,
friends,
or all kinds. Anybody that will listen, we tell them.
Our husbands say they're going to start a support group for husbands of intermittent fasters.
So are they not intermittent fasters? The husbands?
Mine, yeah.
They don't eat breakfast anymore. Yeah.
Mine does. Yeah. He's very loose, though. Like
I say mine husband's an intermittent faster. So that's they're very supportive of it and, you know, try to encourage us and whatever. But I had to have a talk with my husband then when I started ADF because he did not like my mealless Mondays and he would make me feel guilty, you know, and he's like, well, I feel bad. We're all eating in front of you or, you know, and I'm like, this is a choice. You know, I'm choosing this. So before I decided to go to ADF, I was like, I want to be really clear. Like, I want to do this, but I need you to support me and not make me feel guilty. And, you know, and he was. He's like, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. And I was like, it's okay. But no, like, I want you to, you know, be on board and be a cheerleader for me. So they are that.
Well, that's really good. So your mom, after cabbage soup, and I bet you probably saw her dieting a lot when you were growing up, right?
Yeah, but she was always
small. Yeah, she always thought she was big, but we, you know, she never. But I think after menopause is when she probably had the most issues with not being able to lose it as easily. And so she... When we started doing intermittent fasting, she, after a while, finally got on board. And after she did not like the black coffee.
Oh, I get
it. And it took my dad even longer, but.
That's a struggle for so many people. It really is. I wish it weren't true. I wish we could put stuff in our coffee.
But it does. I mean, yes. I honestly, that's the one thing I really push to people because I think a lot of people think they fast. And then when I kind of go into a little more detail, and then I think when people do it though, they're like, oh, there really is a huge difference, and even just physically, like, you're not as hungry anymore, you're not, you know, hangry. So I think it does make a huge difference, and I think people, when they don't know until they experience it. So.
Exactly. And I think that really a lot of people who think that they have failed with intermittent fasting, they, you know, 'cause I'll run into people and I'll talk about intermittent fasting probably everywhere I go, but they'll say, yeah, I tried that. It didn't work for me. And I always say, let's examine what you were drinking during the fast. And they're always like, oh, Powerade Zero. Or, I mean, it was always, there's a list of things. Or I put, you know, I read that you could put 50 calories in your, and I'm like, okay, well, let's try again. But sometimes they're like, no, forget it. It was so awful. I never want to try that again. But I'm like, I promise that's what it was.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So how's mom done? Has she lost the weight she wanted to lose? Is she's doing well?
I think she's a slower loser. I don't know. She hasn't really talked to me about numbers. She went on a big vacation and kind of fell off the wagon there for a little bit. And then she's like, okay, now I'm serious again. And she really has been. Like, she does some mealless Mondays. And then her thing is, like, she's very social. So she has a lot of events that she goes to and luncheons and Bible studies. And so I'm like, mom, but that's your life every week. It's not a special occasion when you do it every week, you know? And so
Jen said.
Yes. So she's had to learn how to incorporate it with her life a little bit more than we do. Cause like we're kind of work all day. It's easier for us. Like, we don't have to even think about it. So I think she's finally back kind of on the losing train. I don't know what number she's at, but I think she is feeling better. And I do think she likes it. And she likes that she doesn't have to, you know, count the 12 almonds and put her stuff in color-coded containers anymore and go to her luncheons and eat what she really wants to eat and stuff. So
that's the best part. Figuring out that you never have to count almonds again.
It really is.
Well, that's when Sheree told me about it, I was like, I love food too much. And she's like, but that's why you do it, because you know, you get to eat the food that you want. You don't have to eat all these, you know.
Because what were you doing? You were doing something.
Oh, I did Optavia, you know, that Metafast.
Right. Oh, I never heard anybody say that. I've been saying Optavia in my head.
I always called it that.
I don't know. I could be
Optavia.
I could be saying it wrong.
I never heard anybody say it. Okay, so that's Metafast, and you do like liquids? Is that what it is?
No, it's like these little prepackaged Frankenfoods that are, sorry, if you work for Metafast, they're disgusting.
If you work for Metafast, we want you to stop doing that.
Oh, it was so bad. So like after the first month, I just got the shakes and bars because I couldn't stand the little foods that they give you. They tasted so bad. And because it was like five of these little snacks a day, and then you got to have one like lean and green at night. So yeah, she's like, Sheree's like, you'd rather do that? Like,
yeah,
you know,
like, here's your alternative.
Yeah. You could eat, you just don't eat all those little snacks, and then you can eat whatever you want, you know, during this hour, you can do that again. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that again. So
she was all in.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let's do it. So
the only meal replacement, well, other than shakes, I did do the shakes thing, you know, shake for breakfast, shake for lunch, sensible dinner. In fact, that just cycled through my Facebook memories the other day. I was doing it, and I'm like, I can't do a shake for breakfast and shake for lunch. Yeah, yeah, this is back in the day. Yeah, I was like, I just need food. Who knew that no food was better than a shake, right? But the only one I ever tried, I never did Nutrisystem. I did Jenny Craig. And with that one, yeah, I think I did 1 week of their food. Yeah. And it was not delicious. I'm sorry, Jenny, but it was not delicious. And the person called me on the phone. She's like, how are you doing? I'm like, well, I've lost 8 pounds, but I quit because this is gross. I was like, I can go to the grocery store and get Lean Cuisines, and they're more delicious. And they have this. I could read the calories on the back. It's the same. Sorry, Jenny. So, but did I go to the grocery store and eat the Lean Cuisines? No. The next day, I probably drove through fast food on the way to work again. Anyway, who knew? So how do you eat now? Just really everything? You eat what you love?
We joke that we are definitely food snobs now. We've always been foodies. So we always like, you know, if we go into a restaurant, we look at their menu ahead of time.
Yes. Like, where are we going?
And make sure, look at the reviews to make sure that what's on their menu is actually what they have. Because with COVID, there's some things they're taking off menus.
I never thought of that. But, and you're right. If the menu doesn't look good, I'm not going to go there.
No. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I always say that we try to eat less Frankenfood. If I'm going to eat food, I want it to be real food and I want it to be good food. But we love Mexican. That's probably, yeah. So we eat a lot of Mexican.
I could probably eat Mexican food every day.
Yes.
Yep.
That's so good.
I really could beans. Beans are my favorite. Y'all probably heard me say that before. So tell me about some of your non-scale victories. How about Sheree, start with you? What are some of your non-scale victories?
I had knee issues before, and that has gotten so much better. I still wear a small brace when I play tennis, but nothing like I used to. And I think it's more just a placebo effect, to be honest, because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt it out there playing tennis.
So you wear the brace just as a security blanket kind of knee brace, right?
And I've gone out there without it. And I'm like, oh, I forgot it. Oh, well, I'm fine. Every once in a while, I'll run off the court and grab it. But I would say that would be my biggest non-scale victory, is just probably the aches and pains everywhere, but especially in my knee. That's been big.
And how about you, Shannon?
Not Michelle. No.
Right, I know.
I actually, so 2019, right before this, I had really, really bad plantar fasciitis. And I hear a lot of people talking about it on your show. It is excruciating. I don't know if anyone's, you know, if you've had it, if you're listening. And our last tennis match, I actually couldn't even play. It was so bad. And I'm very competitive. And so that was very difficult for me, that I had to like, I'm hurting. So it was like affecting my life beyond, oh, I don't look cute in this dress, you know? So I have no plantar fasciitis. It's completely gone. And it probably has to do with the weight as well, but I do believe it has to do with inflammation, because I believe it's correlated. I used to have headaches all the time, and Sheree did too.
Yeah, she would always take Advil.
We would joke. I mean, we had Advil in the car. We have it in the shop. We have it, you know, we always had it in our purse. Like Advil, we were popping it like candy.
You know, me too. I never thought about that, but I used to have some in my purse, and it was a little travel size, and then I liked the liquid gel, so I'd always refill it back up because they had that little container. But as it would be gone, I would fill it back up. And now I don't even know what happened to that little container. Now that you mentioned it, I haven't thought of it in years.
Right. I would take Advil. We would take it before we play tennis. We'd take it. You know, it was just this like all the time, and body aches and headaches. And so I don't really have either one of those anymore. So I'm very thankful for that. And just like my energy level, like I never thought not eating could give me more energy. You know, you've been told your whole life it's the opposite. And so once you kind of, there is a transition. And so I try to like warn people. I'm like, it's not like tomorrow you're going to wake up full of energy. You have to kind of work past those glycogen stores and stuff. And so, but once you do and you're on the other side, it's amazing. And same thing with like, even like just playing tennis fasted. I was like, oh no. I mean, I played college sports. So I was like, you have to feed, you have to fuel, and you have to do all these things. And so that was probably my biggest hang up, was realizing like you can actually exercise fasted and you might even feel better doing it. So that would have been my biggest NSVs, I guess.
You know, thinking about trying to eat a big meal and then doing exercise just makes my stomach hurt just thinking about it, like right this minute.
Uh-huh. It makes my brain slower. Like playing tennis, I'm like, I don't know what to do next.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's like you're in a little lag, a little.
Right.
Yeah.
Even working. I don't like to work after I've eaten.
Yeah.
No. No, I really don't either. You've heard, I'm sure, heard me say that before. But, you know, if I've got a podcast interview, I don't eat till after it's over. Unless it's like at 9 p.m., which is very unusual. It's happened once or twice, but someone, you know, maybe in Australia. But other than that.
Graham.
Yeah. Graham. Hello, Graham. Are you listening? Yeah. He's New Zealand. Is he New Zealand? Oh, no, he's Australia. He's Australia. I'm sorry, Graham. I can't believe I said that.
I think he's from New Zealand, though.
Yes. I think you're right, but I know he lives in Australia. So, yeah, he's fabulous. He just sent me a copy of his book and some little trinkets from Australia, which was so nice. He really is awesome. And he's spreading the word down under, which I love. So what about your kids? Do they think it's weird, you know, that mommy doesn't eat some days? Do they?
I'm just kidding. I think they just only care if we feed them.
My son did ask if we were now sponsored by intermittent fasting because we posted on Instagram and Facebook. So I told him, yes, we were brand ambassadors and getting paid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, what? Yeah, right.
No, my kids don't really care. And I've explained them, mainly my 17-year-old. She's a girl. She's an older girl. You know, I don't want her having any type of issues with weight and stuff. And I'm like, you're growing, you're good. She works out a lot. She played sports a lot. I just kind of more try to drill into them, like try to eat healthier choices. So, but.
And same thing. I have a 10 and 12 year old girls and pretty much just say the same thing. I'm not growing anymore. I don't need to eat. And they see me eat and they see me eat a lot.
Yeah. They're like, oh, mommy does eat and mommy eats a lot.
But they'll be like, is your window open? So I would think of that as cute. I'm like, no, save it for tomorrow. And so they'll put it in a special little spot for me to eat the next day.
I love that. And you'll never have to cook a vat of cabbage soup.
Right? That's the best part.
Yep.
Right? I should make him that. My son was the most excited about it because he's like, we don't have to eat zucchini noodles anymore.
Right. Although zucchini noodles actually sound delicious to me now.
So I agree. I might bring it back. But we just had it so much that he's
Oh, I can remember I bought one of those, the little spiralizer thing, and you could buy them in the store. Like now I think you can buy all those fake noodles out of zucchini and carrot and whatever. But at the time you had to spiralize them yourself. Were you spiralizing your own?
Oh yeah, she has Zoodler.
Yeah, Zoodler.
I think I threw that right in the garbage at one time. But I actually would probably do it again now because I think I would enjoy a little zucchini noodles with some butter. Right, yeah. Parmesan cheese. Yeah. It would not be a low-calorie food by the time I was done, but I don't count calories, so it doesn't matter. So have your tastes changed with what you eat? I know you said that you, like Shannon, you mentioned that you avoid the Franken foods. Have you always done that, or is it new?
No, it's newer. And, like, I mean, yeah, I can still, you know, eat some Cheez-Its or goldfish, but they just don't. They don't hit like they used to, I guess, you know.
Like,
so
this isn't worth it. Let's just bag this back up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say for some things, yeah, my tastes have changed. mainly really for that, like, kind of like cracker and
Dorito. Although I still like Doritos every once in a while, but I used to love Doritos.
Yeah.
Like, love, love, love.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'd say we just want better tasting foods.
Yes.
Once our window's open, you know.
It needs to be delicious. I do still have that crunchy love. I love the crunchy stuff, but the what I like is different. You know, I do still like Doritos, but as far as, you know, the tortilla chips, it has to be a higher quality tortilla chip to really make me happy, but I can still eat a lot of those. And the good news is that I can.
Yep, yep.
If I want to. So what do you still struggle with? Is there anything that you still struggle with?
Probably mainly the biggest thing would probably be the social aspect. If there are events, we have a lot of family. We do a lot of different things together. That's why we're trying to get everybody to do it with us.
Right.
We have a, yeah. So
that's your master plan.
That's
right?
Our master plan. Is what
I was just thinking that.
So, yeah, just that, like, okay, well, we want to go to lunch after tennis and, you know, when's my window open and, you know, those sort of things. Since I am still trying to lose weight, I'm a little more mindful of it. So that's probably, honestly, like, my biggest issue. I really do feel like the hunger is more mental than actual physical most of the time. So it's like you talk about, like, the inner toddler, like, well, they're having that. I don't want that. Yeah. So
I struggled when I'm bored. I'm like, yeah. I want to eat. Hasn't it been long enough? How much longer? And I'm not even hungry. I'm just bored. So then I just find something to do.
Oh, I get that too. You know, because also if it's like, you know, there's something good in the kitchen. Like, you know, if I have something left over, like we had something delicious the day before and there's some left over and I'm thinking about it and bored. Uh-huh. And I'm like, if I don't go ahead and eat that, Chad's going to eat it. And then I'm not going to get to eat it.
Yes. I hide food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to do that. Sorry. I don't know what happened to those cookies. They're gone.
And then I forget about them. I'll find them in my closet like a month later. I'm like, dang it, I ruined them.
The first time that I ever did that, I was shocked with myself. It was, you know, when I was still teaching and I got all these like treats. I don't remember if it was Christmas or the end of the school year. It was one of those, but I would come home with bags and bags of stuff. But someone gave me these gourmet cupcakes that were like delicious. And I remember putting those in the back of the cabinet so nobody would see those gourmet cupcakes. And then I completely forgot they were there. And then later, like weeks later, when I found them, I was so disappointed.
You're like, no.
What? I didn't eat those delicious cupcakes. And I think I went and got some anyway after that just because I could. But that I think that might be the first time that I ever had food that I loved that I forgot was there.
Right.
You're like, that who never am happened I? Yeah. I would remember exactly where I put it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, with the teenagers around, especially my one son, I could say, don't eat this, but he would eat it. Every single time. I would wake up and I'd look for it. It'd be completely gone. But like crumbs leading the way to his
bedroom.
To his bedroom.
That's funny.
Absolutely. So teens and kids. Mm-hmm. So how many people do you reckon y'all have gotten to begin intermittent fasting?
We're like, anybody that passes us by? No, we did start we do have an Instagram group and a Facebook group because I posted about it in like October of 2020. I think I was finally ready to like publicly, you know, talk about it because at that point I maybe lost about 40 pounds, 45, and it was pretty significant. And so I kind of did a big public post on my Facebook and I think there's like a little over 100 people in our groups and mainly just local people who have questioned family members, friends, people who shop with us or we play tennis with, just as like an encouragement. Cause I do feel like that's really important is having a community around you. Cause you can feel isolated. So just do what Sheree did and make somebody do it with you.
Yeah, that's the best part. Drag somebody else with you.
So I don't know how, you know, and then I'll see people are like, oh, I read that book and I had no idea, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So, because they all want, tell me what to do. I'm like, I was like, you want to read this book? And then
that's the best way, right? That's why I wrote the book. Honestly, that's why I wrote the first book. I'm like, I'm tired of telling people here, just read this. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Smart.
Yes. So I won't even like, now my group, you have to like, kind of like, have you read the book or are you planning on reading the book? And so, yeah, pretty much though, like people will ask, oh, well, you look like you've lost weight. What have you been doing? And her husband will roll his eyes. Great, here we go. You know,
yeah. He works at the shop too.
Yeah, he works at the family business as well. So he's like, don't get him started.
Yeah. You're like, I'm sorry, I've got to do it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But I love that you have a Facebook group because, you know, this is really how we are changing the world. You know, one sister at a time, one mom at a time, one group of friends at a time, because people are just struggling to find out what works. Just like y'all were struggling, just like I was struggled for all those years. And when you find it, you just want to share it.
Yes.
There's a way.
I know. We'll see people and we're like, should we say something? We're like, no. They have, you know, like, we want them to come to us, and we don't like to harass people and stuff.
But we're always like, you know who would do awesome at this?
I know. Sheree will call me and be like, you know what would do great? And then like, a couple weeks later, I'll be like, hey, guess who reached out to me? And she's like, oh, that's awesome. So we are a little obnoxious about it. And I'll even like post that. Like, I'm like, I know I'm being obnoxious. So that's kind of why I started the group too. And then every once in a while, I'll post on my main page like, hey, I'm still fasting, so if you want information, you know, it's over here, just so it's not, like, flooding my Facebook every day.
But the thing is you're not trying to sell them something. You're not trying to get them to sign up under you, you know. It's not a pyramid scheme. There's no money to be made. There's just...
And we do say that at the beginning.
Right.
We don't make a penny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like PM that. You and say, by the way.
Right.
Send me your credit card. No.
Right. Yeah. So I really like that. And I like that for myself too. Like, I can kind of go on there and get encouragement from people, and I can share my struggles. Like, yeah, I'm almost 2 years in, but I still have struggles sometimes. You know, some days are hard, holidays are hard, weekends can be hard. So I think people see that and they're like, okay, like, it's just a long-term thing. You know, it's not, it's not a quick fix. And I think once people get their minds wrapped around that, once I got my mind wrapped around that, that's where the game changer was for me.
Absolutely. And I will say, I cannot overemphasize the importance of support. And for me, one of the things I think was instrumental is when I started my first Facebook group in 2015, and that was just supposed to be for me and my friends that were doing it. So we had a place where we could talk. That was the original One Meal a Day group, and of course it grew and grew, and people started coming and I didn't know, and I'm like, wait, no, I don't know you. I couldn't stop it. Yeah, it was growing, but that was before you could ask people questions to join a Facebook group. I mean, do you even remember before those days of questions? It was like really the Wild West, because someone would just try to join and you didn't know. I remember like some days I'd be like, oh my gosh, 30 people want to join the group, which seems like nothing now, because now we have hundreds a day in some of the groups. But you had to go to their Facebook profile and try to see something about them. Like, is this a... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it would like take forever, and I was doing it by myself. But having the group, where I was going with this long, crazy story, was that I think it really helped me to stay consistent, because I had now told a lot of people about it and they were in there with me. And so I felt like I kind of had to owe it to them to be consistent and to be successful. And so, you know, when I've struggled, talking through the struggles, and it just really helped me to be honest with what was going on.
Yep. Yep. I like it. I enjoy having it. And we're pretty, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 posts a week. You know, people will post things or say things and encourage each other and all that stuff. So I enjoy having it and having that accountability. So
yeah, the accountability. It's not just helping them, but it's helping you. So anybody who's listening, if you've thought about, you know, maybe you're someone who's afraid to share, you've never shared it, or maybe you like for me, I felt like people were watching to see if I would fail again.
Right. Yeah.
You know, all the times they'd see me yo-yo back up. And it took a while before they realized I wasn't going to do that suddenly this time. But for anyone who's, you know, worried about sharing, go ahead and share. You're planting that seed. Even if people are like, yeah, that's nuts, I'm not doing it. Maybe they'll be ready in a year and they'll remember.
Right.
That you mentioned.
We got a lot of those at first. Oh, so you're starving yourself. Got it.
Yeah.
Like, I get that.
But they always come back.
Yeah, they always, always come back. And they always Especially once they see you eating.
Yeah. Well, the only ones who never came over were the ones who never struggled with their weight. But anybody who has struggled, they always did. You're exactly right. They always came back. All right. So since there are two of you, I want to make sure we have enough time for this. So I'm going to start with you, Cherie. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would say consistency is key. I have a lot of people that are like, well, I just want to do it 3 days a week or however they want to do it, but just fast every day and it just pretty much snowballs and it's easy. It does take a little while.
That's
but.
Really important because the thing that I know now caused a lot of my struggles when I was trying to figure out intermittent fasting was the inconsistency.
Right.
Being stuck in the adjustment phase and never making it to the part where it got easy.
Yes. And the app helps a lot with that, too. I'm a numbers person, so I like seeing it. But
which app do you like? What do you use?
I like Life.
Okay.
The Life app. So just hit start every day and commit to fasting and one day after another.
That was like me with the window app that Cal made. And every time I closed my window, I was not going to reopen it. It was the little just one more level of accountability that made a difference. All right. How about you, Shannon? What would you say to someone just starting off, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, there was a scripture I posted when I posted a picture of myself when I had publicly came out. It was, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And so I try to really stick to that. And I try to, like, just because you can do it or can have it doesn't necessarily mean that you should. So, but you can, you know, so it's like, but if you do that every day, you're probably not going to feel great. And I'm just I'm a big believer in the KISS method, the keep it simple, stupid. I think we try to overcomplicate things. I think that's how all diets have always been. They're just, you know, counting macros and calories and this and that. Well, what's your window? What should my window be? Which, you know, and I'm like, just relax and just keep it simple. It's really simple. It's just eating and not eating. Like, you know, if you do that, if you have a period of not eating and a period of eating, that's what fasting is.
Well, it's like Brad Pilon's, you know, foundational book that he wrote so long ago, Eat, Stop, Eat. That was the name of his book. And that's really, I'm like, that's brilliant. You eat, then you stop, then you eat. And that's really what we're doing. The fast, feast, repeat again. So
Yes. So I just think, just don't overcomplicate it, you know, and get out of your head and just play the long game. It's really easy to get short-sighted, and that's how a lot of diets are, because I've done diets where I've lost 30 pounds in 2 months, but I could never sustain that. And so if I had given up at month three when I did gain a pound, I would not have lost 60 pounds now, you know? So it's one day, one step, one fast at a time. So.
And I like the emphasis on the long game too, like you said. You know, we're not going to quit doing intermittent fasting no matter what, because we feel so good and it's given us the sanity. So we're not going to stop. We're going to do it every single day. And, you know, your body will decide when you get to the weight that's right for you. Maybe you'll lose a half a pound every other month, you know.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
But it will stay off, right?
Yeah. Yes. But we know how to keep it off. Yeah, like that's the thing. It's not going to be that, you know, jump back up like it is every time. So
that's the best part. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you two today, Shannon and Cherie, and no Michelle in the room. I don't know.
No Michelle.
But thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you around in the groups.
All right. Thanks,
Jen. Thank you so much.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I have missed these Friday night dinners.
Hey, welcome to Harvey Gras!
At these family dinners,
gracious everyone!
Dysfunction is served.
I can't have you all messing things up for my entire adult life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we embarrass you?
Jump, jump, jump!
It's already better than I dared to dream.
They're extra.
Let the wild rumpus start! Woo, woo,
woo, woo. And they're embarrassing.
We know how hard it is to move on from the first girl that you ever slept with.
Not the first girl who I ever slept with.
Yeah, right. You're a regular lady killer.
I thought you said it was going to be boring here tonight.
No!
I really hoped it would be.
But they couldn't love each other more.
Surprise! To mom and dad being totally normal.
Wow.
So, dinner next Friday, everyone?
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Dinner with the Parents, Season 1. Stream free only on Freevee.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.